Voices of the Elephant is proudly sponsored by SiteGround.com, a leader in website hosting and a terrific partner for all your website projects. Their top-notch technologies will make your websites fast and secure. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. My name is Cal Evans. I'm your host, and my special guest today is my longtime friend, Ms. Margaret Staples. Say hi to everybody, Margaret.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me, Cal.
Oh, always happy to. You know, you wrote me and said, hey, I've got some new Twilio stuff, and can either me or Gary come on? And I said, well, Gary would hurt the ratings, but you're always welcome. I'm kidding, Gary. Okay. I love you, buddy.
Everybody loves Gary.
But that leads us straight into, that's a very, very easy way to lead right into our conversation. You work on Twilio Quest, which is quite honestly one of the coolest things I've ever seen any vendor do. It's the graphics are all 8-bit graphics, but it's an adventure game that you have to program to do. All I know is every time my daughter comes home, she's in Colorado now, and every time she comes home, she sees my Twilio Quest crumpler bag, and she keeps trying to take it because she's a big D&D fan, and she loves that. So I think this next trip home, I'm probably going to lose that bag. But anyhow, talk to us. You've got some new content and some exciting new news, and that's what I want to talk to you about is what's up with Twilio Quest.
Well, I have loved Twilio Quest ever since I was hired at Twilio. As you know, I was an indie game developer in my past. Mm-hmm. I love learning technology things through the lens of creating a game that uses those technology things. That's always been my favorite way to learn. And so when I was hired at Twilio and I found out that one of their projects for educating developers on how to use their APIs was in fact an 8-bit style gamification of micro tutorials called Twilio Quest. And over about a year into me being at Twilio, the creator of Twilio Quest, who is one of my coworkers, Kevin, who is amazing, he revamped it to not just be an 8-bit style gamification, but to actually be a legit, you load it up, you make your avatar, you run around levels video game with built-in coding tutorials. And it started out just with Twilio functionality, learn how to interact with our APIs. But since then, we've been building it out to also teach other cool programming skills that people need. And when I joined the Twilio Quest developer team this year, what we're really excited on is I get to bring some of my PHP knowledge into that Twilio Quest universe. The idea being that there aren't actually a lot of formal learning opportunities for becoming a PHP developer. There aren't a lot of boot camps that offer it. Although most of us are self-taught, the resources for that are somewhat piecemeal. I think we all know that the PHP manual is bar none the best.
It really
is. But as far as a classroom style experience or like a teaching experience, there isn't a whole lot available out there. So I was really super excited to get to use my love of gaming and my love of sci-fi, because it's a sci-fi game, and my love of PHP to create almost a PHP bootcamp inside of this educational video game. So we're launching the first tiny little taste of that content here very, very soon. In fact, by the time this recording goes out, it'll probably be there ready for people to play and tell me what they think.
Wow, that is phenomenal. Now, I've seen you at conferences. First of all, I got to ask, does the fact that you're now on the Twilio Quest mean I'm going to see less of you at conferences? Because I can only take Gary in small doses, okay? No, I'm kidding. Are you now off the road? Or, I mean, is Twilio Quest your full-time thing? Or you kind of split?
Well, the first thing to note is that during the plague, we are all off the road that nobody's doing any traveling, nobody's doing any events. Our health and safety is the number one priority on our team. So none of us are going back on the road until we feel safe doing so. Even if that means that other companies are out there first, our people are our top priority. So nobody's traveling right now.
Okay.
If the plague were not happening, I would be doing less events, but I would still be doing some events. Programming on Twilio Quest is how I'm spending a whole lot of my time. But the original intention before the plague was that I would take breaks from being heads down in code to go socialize and show people that experience out on the road doing Twilio Quest workshops and going to conferences and still giving my talks. Because, I mean, I was going to these conferences for fun before this was my job. So it's not like I'm ever going to be ready to be totally checked out on these events where I met most of my friends. Read into that what you will.
Absolutely. Well, and it's always fun to wander by the Twilio booth and look at the score on Twilio Quest and see the numbers climbing. It gives me a great excuse to wander by because you've always got the best candy anyhow. So I can always wander by and say, oh, look at the score, and then steal a piece of candy. So
I grew up in arcades. Delivering that arcade experience has been one of the great joys in this role for me.
I imagine. Yeah, you've got all the tchotchkes spread out, and it's amazing. And several of them, I'm like, you know, that was almost worth setting it up and running through the tutorials just to win that little piece. I remember you had a bracelet with pink bow, skull and crossbow with pink bows, and I absolutely loved it. It would have gone great with my Ren Faire pirate costume because I think it would just been wonderful. But unfortunately, in these events, I am just so swamped that just showing up and speaking to everybody sucks up most of my time. Okay, let's talk details about the content. Now, you say a PHP type boot camp. Is this just the basics of PHP, variables, loops, arrays, conditionals, that kind of stuff? Or is it more the Twilio write a script, make a phone ring type thing?
Well, the Twilio content is obviously in the game, but the particular level that I'm working on isn't focused on that. The particular level that I'm working on is focused all around PHP specific interactions. And because I've been given so much creative freedom around that, my approach is my approach. It's not a textbook approach. Instead, basically as the character, you are dropped into a situation in which all sorts of things are going wrong, as PHP developers often find themselves. And the way you learn is by figuring out what each individual bug or issue is and learning how to solve it. And of course, because it's intended to be a teaching, I don't assume a lot of knowledge going in. So like one of the first things that you have to figure out how to do is make sure that you've got a modern version of PHP installed, and the game will check that for you. And if you don't have it, it's got instructions for how to do that. And if you do have it, you pass that mission and you go on to the next thing.
That is very cool. So basically, you inherit a Perl script and you have to... No, I'm kidding. This sounds fascinating, and I really can't wait to see it in action. I guess now, since we're not doing in-person things anymore, and that's my mindset, is Twilio Quest is something you do at conferences. How do people participate in Twilio Quest that right now we're doing online events?
Well, Twilio Quest is awesome because it's a thing that you can do whenever. As much as I love running the in-person events because it's a way to engage with people and to share my excitement for the whole learning through gaming thing, it's always available online. You can go to twilio.com/TwilioQuest right now, and you can either play the old school gamification version through your browser, or you can download the new version and run around in the levels and play whenever you like. We're also doing online stuff, which is cool. Like I mentioned, Kevin, the creator, he's been running some operator schools, which are specifically online events geared towards kids and adolescents and teenagers, but also just anybody who's a noob who wants to learn to code, using the game as a curriculum. And he does it like a webinar, and we have engineers there in the chat to answer people's questions as they come in. So it's that's been super fun. And also we're doing Twilio Quest Tuesdays, where we're always broadcasting something every Tuesday that is Twilio Quest related. Maybe it'll be like a speed run, or maybe it'll be an interview with one of the creators, or something cool with Twilio Quest is happening every single Tuesday. And we're just going to be building more content like that in the future, because our need to serve developers did not end when the plague hit. So we're just looking for more fun, creative ways to engage with people and to help them out wherever they happen to be. And right now, where we all happen to be is online.
Yep. Excellent. I just talking to you, I've had several ideas. My wife, the lovely and talented Kathy, volunteers for a coding school here locally. Well, she used to, but they're taking that online. And I'm going to pitch to her that she take a look at this, because they do Minecraft and they do several other tutorial sites, but they're for kids. And I would love
to put Kathy in touch with the woman on our team, Kiara, who is currently heading up this amazing initiative to connect educators with Twilio Quest a toolkit for their classroom. This is something that I engaged with a couple of teachers with randomly while I was just presenting the arcade experience on the road. Occasionally I would have teachers come up and go, hey, could I do this in a classroom? And I would hook up individual teachers with like a little pack of like guides and some ideas around how to do that. But Kiara is like taking this and running with it. She's actually doing the work to make this accessible for like boot camps and actual like whole curriculums and stuff. So I would love to put Kathy in touch with her. I'm super excited to see where that goes.
We'll get y'all two talking and you can get them talking, because I know that they are doing some online events now, and she's active in it. So this might be a great experiment. Now it's time for you to be a game changer with the RingCentral Developers Game Changer Program. Grow your skills, help others in the community, and get rewarded with awesome prizes like RingCentral swag, conference tickets, software, iPads, computers, and so much more. Don't just be a developer, be a game changer and join the program today. For more information, visit developers.ringcentral.com. Speaking of the fact that, you know, everything's online these days, and everybody's locked at home because of the COVIDs, you and I are in that group of technical people that this is just another day in the office. I mean, most of the time you and I work from home, and I know I've had I call them office enabled, but office bound friends that are now working from home, and most are adapting. I've seen a couple struggling, and you know, now companies are coming out and saying, well, you know, maybe this is for the best. Maybe we don't need all that expensive real estate in downtown San Francisco. Maybe there are better uses for that kind of stuff. So, a lot of people are really starting to try to figure out, okay, how do I make this work? And you've been doing this so long. Share with us, because you and I were talking before I hit the record button, and you talked about, you know, things like having to make time for certain activities and not overworking. How do you balance that when the computer is always sitting right there?
Well, I think the first thing that I just want to share, to be like honest about, is that I really didn't think that the social distancing thing was going to affect me, because as you say, I've been a work from home person for a really long time. I'm also an introvert. I'm a homebody. As much as I love the conference thing, it's really because it time boxes all of that social time, so I can go in and I can be full tilt social and cash myself out and then go back to introvert times, which is really where I'm most comfortable. That's the easy place for me. So
my people, yes. I didn't think
this was going to be a big deal, but then it was. I was really surprised by how much it affected me, because the first thing that I noticed is that I'm a caring nurturer type. That's just like who I am. I like to be there for people. I like to support people. And I realized that I have been using other people's lives when people check out to go be with their family, be with their kids, go do their thing, that I had been using that as sort of like a natural signal that it was okay for me to go do introverted things. And then in this crisis, suddenly no one's ever totally checked out. Everybody always has some need, some need to be supported, some need to be reassured, some caring nurturer trigger for me. and I was exhausting myself by never fully checking out and getting that introvert time. So the first thing I want to be honest about is the fact that even for those of us that were full-time work from home, this is different. This isn't everybody working from home. This is everybody dealing with a crisis. We are all having to carry so much stress of our own, of the people that we love, that even those of us that have been working from home for ages and have all of these great skills for working from home, this isn't that. This is something else, and we need to approach this as its own problem. So being honest about that, I think, is the first step to putting together some really good positive rituals for dealing with this moment. So That's once I acknowledged that, I started being a lot more deliberate about my introvert time. Super important. I've had to get better over these weeks about shutting my work laptop and not opening it back up. I've been migrating things, tools off of my work laptop that I might want to use recreationally, but I don't want to put myself in that work mindset by opening the laptop on my weekend. It's a work in progress. I'm not saying I'm perfect at any of these things, but they're helping over time. Another thing that I've made very intentional is now every single Sunday, I have a chosen family video chat. And not everybody shows up every week, but I have this open invitation out to all of my chosen family humans. I set the time. I always log in. I'm always present. And you know what? Even if nobody showed up, it would still be good for me to make that time. But so far, every single week, people show up, we chat, we have a good time, we touch base. It's very rewarding. And having that be a very specific, intentional time with loved ones is been super, super important to me. Yeah. Another really important thing is inventing things to look forward to. One of the big stressors that we're all under right now is that we don't have enough data to make the kind of plans that we normally make in our lives. Yep. Like I normally during the warm part of the year, I live in Washington State, which is gorgeous. And during the warm part of the year, I am a casual camper. I am used to I'm physically disabled, but I am also a lifelong lover of the outside. And so I have gotten in the habit of driving up to one of the camping sites that I can literally drive my car up into and setting up a little campsite for myself within about 300 feet of my car so I don't have to use my walker. And just soaking up that outside time, like literally just sitting next to a fire and reading a book is something I find profoundly recharging if I'm like amongst the trees and the outside. It's just really good for me. But this year, I couldn't really make those plans because what's going to be open? Is it going to be allowing overnight? When is it going to be? Are there going to be too many people? And am I going to be upping my health risk? And so I reached out to chosen family and I'm like, hey, this is my deal. This is what's going on with me. Does anybody have any private wilderness space that I could maybe strike up a campsite in? And I've already gotten two offers. So that's really lovely. That's something to look forward to. Also have been wanting to build myself, well, I've been wanting to buy, but there isn't one to buy. So I've been wanting to build myself a Bluetooth speaker based on my own ideas of what's important. And I did a bunch of research and I ordered a DIY kit that's the right combination of challenging and hand-holdy to get my amateur self through it. And I'm working on that. So that just anything to look forward to is just so important to keeping your internal resources recharged. And that I think is the most important piece to being successful with working from home is making sure that you're taking care of your internal resources. And that's energy, like getting enough sleep, but that's also things like, are you taking enough care of yourself? Are you processing your own emotions? Are you getting the support that you need? Are you checking in with the people that you love? And are you spending enough time doing frivolous things? Like we're human beings. We didn't miraculously stop being frivolous, silly creatures just because we're in the midst of a crisis. And you got to feed that piece of yourself too. Oh, but absolutely. As far as like being productive, like once you've got all that stuff sorted, there, the like work from home people have some like great, great wisdoms we can share with everybody, which like have rituals. If you had coffee every morning at work, have coffee every morning in your kitchen. if you make a special place for work. This is my conference call corner where I'm talking to you right now. You can see that I have my conference call unicorn here with me. This is my conference call spot. It's where I go to be in that headspace. Every single morning, part of being disabled means that I actually have one of those fancy hospital beds like the Bala I am. And so I make my bed every morning and set the recline up to the seated position. And I pull out this giant cutting board that I use as my flat surface. And I put that on the bed and that transforms that from being my home to being my office. So that's a very important ritual. But also right now, because this is not normal work from home, another important piece to being productive with work is making sure that you're doing specifically social, not work things with your coworkers.
Yeah.
To keep that communication open. Because we're under so much stress, communication is being harder than we're even being able to perceive that it's being. Misunderstandings are happening more often. Hurt feelings are happening more often. It's just the nature of everybody being under stress. So one of the cool things that we're doing at work is we have employee resource groups. And one of the things that multiple ones of our employee resource groups are doing is we've set up ways to sign up to be put into a small group. And we just meet with that small group once a week or every other week based on individuals' preferences. And we just get together and we just chat about what's going on, about how we're dealing with things, and just being able to have that space, that intentional space where we just are human with each other, allows us to go back to being heads down in our work, super productive, energized about that stuff when it's time for that stuff.
You talked about being able to look forward to things. Aside from the trip to Belize that we had to cancel, postpone, I think we're going in September. But my avocation is I'm a scuba diver. And I made dive master last year, and I assist in classes probably twice a month. I'll be down at a local dive site, and I'm helping students. I'm helping the instructor help the students. And when they shut that beach down, that all stopped. And that's the one thing that has severely impacted me. I mean, not just the size of my code muscle growing a little bit because I'm not out there every other weekend, but I miss that. And so they opened it up 2 weeks ago, and the lovely and talented Kathy and I are going this Friday. And I just got a text from the guy that I work with that's the instructor, and we've got classes coming up in June. And I'm like, yay, I get to go out there because it gives me a chance to be around people, and especially non-technical people. You know, we're talking scuba diving, so I can get away from the tech mindset. It's not all code anymore. But that really, really has impacted me. And I'm a member of a team, since I'm a consultant, I've got two or three teams I'm a member of, but I'm a member of a team that they did similar to what you talked about. Our leader set up Zoom calls with us every other week. And it's not mandatory. If you want to show up, you show up. And we sit and chit chat for 30 minutes. And I'll be honest with you, the first time I did it, I was very uncomfortable. I'm like, shouldn't we be doing business or something like that? But then we all just got to chit chat. And it's real fun. And she's our leaders in Italy. I talked to one of my coworkers that is in Minnesota, and there's another one up in Orlando, and we're just all over the place. And it was relieving to talk to somebody else, non-technical, non-work, you know, Zoom doesn't always have to be work type thing. So you're right. Those are great things.
Take some of that pressure off and give you space to think.
Yep. And at 5 o'clock, I stand up, I turn the laptop off, and I leave. And I do my best not to come back here. Right. Matter of fact, yesterday was Memorial Day. We're recording this on Tuesday. I did not touch my phone. I left my watch sitting on its charger. There was no interrupt. The kids were over. Kathy and the kids played board games. I sat and read and did other things. But, you know, I'm not going to go to the computer. So
one of the first things that I did this morning was slapped my manager, who's a new manager because I moved teams. So the Twilio Quest team manager, Kevin, the guy who created it. And I messaged him first thing this morning to say thank you, because one of the last messages that he sent on Friday before clocking out for the weekend was to the team. And he said that it's a holiday weekend. And he just emphasized, and this was not the first time he'd mentioned it, but he just like doubled down on his way out the door that he would just really like all of us to maybe not touch any work over the holiday weekend, to maybe just not touch anything until Tuesday. And you know me, I work too much. That is just an inherent part of who I am. But with that extra encouragement and my acknowledgement that we are in a crisis, and so I need to be more intentional and more careful with myself, I did it. I didn't touch work all holiday weekend. It was just so weird. And I'm so glad and I'm so grateful. And that's why I reached out to thank him, because that extra bit of cheerleading really did help me not touch work all weekend. And I feel better today than I have felt in probably a month. I read my book. I worked on my Bluetooth speaker kit. I cleaned my kitchen a little bit. I went for a nice drive. Like I just was a human without even acknowledging that there were work things that I was responsible for. And I don't think I have been able to check out that fully since the crisis started, because it's, you know, it's everything all the time.
Yeah, I get that. Well, we need to wrap this up, but hey, I do appreciate you being a guest here on Voices of the Elephant, taking time out of your busy schedule. And audience, I want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule to listen. I hope you found this a valuable investment of your time. Hey, do us a favor. If you would, go out on whatever podcasting network that you pick this up on and leave us a rating. If you like what we're doing, leave us a good rating. If you think we can do better, don't hesitate to drop me an email. My email address is cal@calevans.com. I would love to hear from you and love to find out how we can better serve you. Thank you, and we'll see you right here next week on Voices of the Elephant. Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled E-L-E-P-H-P-A-N-T.